This is Pablo Mastroianni.
This is Dylan Powers.
This is Shane O'Neill.
Soy Vicente Sanchez.
This is Drew Moore.
This is Clint Irwin, and you're listening to the Rapids Podcast.
Dylan Cerna making the run. First time effort. Oh, what a goal! Right footed. Oh, Torres! Tony Birch striking this one. That's all! That is a thunderbolt from Mark Birch. We've seen some belters tonight.
We are, in fact, off and rolling. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Rapids Podcast numero 129, presented by Advocare, the official sports nutrition partner of your Colorado Rapids. The party is over. The All-Star bandwagon has packed up and rolled out of town. We will relive the best moments and hear from some of those involved, and we will also look toward the visit of LA Galaxy this Saturday. We'll hear from Drew Moore, Pablo Mastroianni. We'll have All-Star Game highlights, talk about the homegrown game, and finally talk about the LA Galaxy coming to Dick's Sporting Goods Park this Saturday. Will Steven Gerrard be here? Donovan Ricketts is now a member of the LA Galaxy again, and it's all ahead here on the Rapids Podcast, number 129. To talk about all this, we bring in the voice and face and lifeblood of the Colorado Rapids. It is Sir Richard Fleming. How are you, pal? You just got to float around All-Star activities and just be a bigwig.
Well, the first part was right.
Okay, you got to... All right, reverse. You got to float around and be a part of MLS All-Star festivities. It was a fun week here a mile above sea level, wasn't it?
It was fantastic, and you know, everywhere you turn, there were star names and familiar faces. I was lucky enough to do the official welcome party, which was on Monday at Union Station. And, you know, if you were a Tottenham fan or if you were a soccer fan and you're able to get down there, the players were so easily accessible. There were fans having selfies with the likes of David Veer and Kaká and Harry Kane and a lot of the other MLS players as well, including Drew Moore. And then, of course, you know, the news filtered out on Tuesday that Steven Gerrard, and obviously we heard Frank Lampard earlier, but Michael Bradley, Robbie Keane, Jarvinko would not be taking part. Then Sam Cronin steps in, and then Wednesday on the morning of the game, we hear that Clint Irwin. So three Rapids players on the roster. Two of them got game time on Wednesday, and that was 24 hours after the homegrown game. But there was lots of stuff going on downtown as well. At Skyline Park, there was the concert. So it has been. It's been a great week. It's been a busy week. I know there's a lot of people behind the scenes here at the Colorado Rapids who've been working their socks off for many, many months trying to prepare and get this right. And how fine did Dick's Sporting Goods Park look on Tuesday and particularly Wednesday?
No, it was perfect. It was absolutely perfect. Last night, we're recording this on Thursday, the night of the game, of the All-Star game, was virtually the most perfect weather night I may have ever experienced here, and I've been here my whole life. It was fantastic. And you look up and down Twitter and you see people who had never been here before or had been here before, whether it be the Snow Classico or one of our classic early June hurricanes that we have here in Commerce City. And they said, even Vic Lombardi from Channel 4 News was like, Dick's Sporting Goods Park was perfect for this game, was perfect for soccer. What a night for the MLS All-Star game. And it really was. I think they went above and beyond expectation for this game. Some people raised an eyebrow when we were awarded the 20th season All-Star game here, especially with Avaya Stadium, who has the next year being completed already. But I think those involved went above and beyond and made for a fantastic event week, really. I mean, it culminated in the match, 2-1 win for the MLS All-Stars and a dominant performance or first half from Kaká, who was the game MVP. But all in all, seemed to be a five-star experience for a lot of people this week.
And I think, you know, you would hope that that serves as a launch pad for people to recognize, and well, not necessarily recognize because clearly they know where Dick's Sporting Goods Park is, but to acknowledge that, look, you're not going to get the All-Star game here every week. You're not going to get Tottenham or Real Madrid or Barcelona or Manchester United here every game, but this is your hometown club. This is your home club. They play in Major League Soccer. These are the big names that are going to be coming to Dick's Sporting Goods Park. You've got your home players here, players that you back and support. And, of course, one of the other big stories this week is that Didier Drogba will be has joined Montreal Impact. He got a massive reception when he arrived at Montreal Airport earlier in the week. And Montreal are due here on October the 10th. So, you know, you look, David Villa, home opener, Steven Gerrard, this coming Saturday, Didier Drogba, just three, not big names, massive global superstars of the sport, and they're going to be here. So
don't forget Kaká as well. He
Kaká,
was here last
who
night,
was here
but
on,
we'll see him
on
soon
Wednesday
as
night.
Well.
So you know, this is a real chance. I think these All-Star games are showcasing the league, but I think also we've got to be mindful that this is a chance to showcase the Colorado Rapids, soccer in Colorado, Dick's Sporting Goods Park as a soccer arena, and as a consequence, you would hope that it would entice some of those borderline fans to say, well, I want a little bit more of this. And the other thing, of course, what fans have to remember is that they are the atmosphere. So the more that turn up, the better the atmosphere, the bigger the atmosphere. So they very much are part of the growth of this club, and of course, as an extension of Major League Soccer.
When you think of Colorado soccer, you think of Pablo Mastroeni. Let's hear now from the head coach of the MLS All-Stars.
I wanted to get the majority of the guys that were voted by the fans on the field. I think that's important, but not only their fans, but by their peers. And so the front three were, for me, obvious choices. I think as we went further back into that lineup, continuity was important. And I think the back line has played together, other than Beltran at the international level, and maybe him as well, and then Nikki behind them in goal. And I felt that continuity was important. And then obviously Graham and Jossie as well. And I think Dax is one of the more underrated deep line midfielders in this league. So it's tough to do. I think it was, we wanted to get off to a good start. And I thought continuity and being very dynamic in the attack was really important.
Pablo, this is probably the first time you've had a chance to interact with Kaká on an extended basis. What were your impressions of him? And obviously, what was it like for you to coach him tonight?
You know, my first impression was seeing that, his desire to be here was tremendous. And for a guy that's done pretty much everything you can do in a football career and still have this desire to come and participate in a game in Colorado in altitude midweek and be excited and hungry about it, I think speaks more about the human than the player. And for me, this is the most important element of any player because it's what drives you when the technique isn't there. And so I think he rubbed off, even if it was for a moment, on a lot of us about what it takes to be great, not just at soccer, but for me as a coach as well. You know, too often we find ourselves complaining about a lot of different things and why things aren't going our way. And I think he exemplifies the type of human being that it takes to be great. And so for me, it was fantastic to be in and around him, the way he carried himself, the way he answers every single question anyone asks him, signs every shirt, paper, whatever. Just an exemplary human being. It was really a privilege.
On a beautiful midsummer's night along the Rocky Mountains, the 20th MLS All-Star Game is underway. Up at Villa to take the first quarter of the game for the MLS All-Stars. Diaz ball looped in. Falls for Dempsey. And there is a handball spot. It's a penalty for the MLS All-Stars. Michelle Vore stepping in. Kaká stepping up. Just inside the left corner. Kaká from the spot. MLS with the first goal tonight. Sardis had a number of options in there. It's Dempsey who leads it across. Beltran's cross turned in by Nabi Villa. It was Kaká who set it in front. It was Villa who finished it. Two quick goals. A slip of the back from Matt Beasler. Harry Kane picks it up. One-on-one running with Omar Gonzalez. Support coming from behind. Kane watches what it sounds. And that is what he can do. And that is what he did so many times last season. Harry Kane, sensational.
Three goals in the first half, two for the MLS All-Stars, one for Tottenham Hotspur coming off the foot. Somehow a laser beam from Harry Kane. Probably should have had two or three in that match, but Harry Kane continuing to have the form that he did leading the way in England last season. He looked good. Tottenham does fall to the MLS All-Stars 2-1, but Harry Kane still impressive. He played half of the second half as well, and number 18 was... He was a crowd favorite out there, wasn't he, on Wednesday?
Yeah, a big favorite. And, this is a Tottenham side that will play in the Europa League. They'll be in the group stages of the UEFA Europa League. They've got Real Madrid next Tuesday at the Allianz Arena in Munich. And then potentially, I think it's either Barcelona or Juventus on the Wednesday. So Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and then on the Saturday they travel to Manchester to take on Manchester United in their opening Premier League fixture.
Happy opening week to you.
It's that look you're gonna find out early on what you're made of, and sure. Sometimes I think some of the bigger sides And obviously Tottenham are up there, I mean, finishing fifth in the Premier League. But some of the even greater sides, and I include Manchester United in that, sometimes you want to get them early.
I hope you would.
Yes. You want to get them early in the season because of their new signings. You know, it's a little bit hit and miss. They maybe not have necessarily bedded in. So, you know, Tottenham have got a tough start. They've got a tough few games and travelling back from having played at altitude here on Wednesday night against the All-Stars. It's my first All-Star game, and you know, for a guy from England.
Well, you Englishmen don't do All-Star formats,
do you? We don't
do
All-Star formats, no, and that's why it is such an unfamiliar format.
But what do you think, honestly, an outsider's perspective, okay. Is it a little bit of a... Is it gimmicky to you? Do you think it's gimmicky?
To me, if I'm being brutally honest, yeah. I would say it's a glorified exhibition game.
Which it probably is.
But if it's serving a purpose to showcase the best in your league...
But it was massively popular.
Of course.
Look how many people were here.
Of course, it's massively popular. And I think where it differed from I use the term loosely, from an exhibition game, is it had an edge. Had an edge. It was competitive. And I think...
It wasn't quite last year, but...
It wasn't. Well, they didn't have Osvaldo Alonso on the side. But,
that's true.
Who is a gritty player and will get stuck in whatever the weather. But I think it is very much a North American idea. It's obviously it's across all the other sports, and as I say, it is quite alien to those outside of these shores. But then I think also the same can be said for domestic competitions, and one of the big problems that we had in England with the FA Cup is that it began to lose a bit of its shine, a bit of its sheen, the more foreign players came into English soccer, because it was another game to them. It didn't have the rich history and the heritage and the tradition that I've grown up with as the FA Cup. And so, you know, people have talked down the years, the last decade or so, of the FA Cup maybe losing its magic. Well, I think part of that is down to the fact that maybe there isn't necessarily that understanding and appreciation. And I think the same could be said for foreign players coming into MLS, that they don't understand the standing of the All-Star game and its position in the sporting calendar and how much it means in terms of a showcase. So for me, it is part of my education of the soccer here in North America and the sports model here in North America. But look, the amount of jerseys around the stadium at Dick's Sporting Goods Park on Wednesday, Seattle jerseys, Real Salt Lake jerseys, DC United jerseys,
Sporting Kansas City
around the stadium on Wednesday night. You know, that was a bringing together of the fans. That's unique, I think, in most countries. You just don't have that. So it is something special. It is something to keep hold of. But I'll throw it back to you. What is your take on, and this was something that was mentioned, and then they rode back a little bit post-match. There was talk earlier in the week of going back to the East versus West because of the concentration now of big names in Major League Soccer that, again, quote-unquote, it can stand on its own two feet. What do you think?
I think that they're better off playing this format, and I'll tell you why. Because as many jerseys as we saw of MLS teams, we also saw the group of people that get up at 5:30 in the morning on Saturdays and Sundays to watch Premiership football on NBC Sports Network. There's a massive following of European and particularly English soccer here in America. And when they play those big clubs from Europe, that is a big draw. I think you could have the MLS All-Star game be East versus West, and you get some hype around it. But when you have one of the top teams in the world in any sport come in to your venue, to your hometown, and play, I think that is a bigger draw. When they do play the Bayern Munichs and the Manchester Barcelona's, Uniteds and the Barcelonas, that's when it's something that, yes, in the past 2-3 years with the International Champions Cup, you know, that Man U plays PSG, Chelsea plays Barcelona, those tours are increasingly popular because it's something that North American audiences like to see live and that they wouldn't get to see in any other circumstance. So that's why I think that it's a good fit for the MLS All-Stars, because they get to see the players that they see play on a weekly basis in MLS and a treat with some of the top football in the world.
And I also think, almost sort of kicking my idea into touch, which is not my idea, but I'll take credit for it.
You should.
MLS is obviously pushing to become a global brand.
Sure, right.
And to get global recognition, you have to put yourself on global media platforms.
And how much English media do we see here on Wednesday night?
There was
fair
a,
amount,
a,
not as much
a
as
decent,
I thought.
There
was but
a
I think,
amount.
But
they will have picked it up. They will have picked it up from their
exactly
wire services,
point.
And they
yes.
will have picked it up from overseas. And there will have been an acknowledgement. You know, Harry Kane.
But we talked
scored,
to so many people who came here from London for this game only.
Yeah.
Right.
I thought it was a fantastic few days, but of course against the backdrop of that, you know, the Pablos and the Steve Cooks and the Drew Moores and the Sam Cronins and the Clint Irwins and the Chris Sharps were doing two jobs.
Right. They had a game in
going out to coach the All-Stars, yeah. And obviously Tuesday night Shane O'Neill and Dylan Serna were involved with the homegrown game. But at the same time, they're also having to get things ready for Saturday night against LA Galaxy, which is going to be a big game. But it was fantastic to see Drew Moore got on 45 minutes. Sam Cronin got on for 45 minutes. He only found out Tuesday morning that he was involved. Clint Irwin sadly didn't see any minutes, but he was given the call up on Wednesday morning. He's had a fantastic season for the Rapids this year. 7 shutouts for Clint Irwin, 26 years of age, and I would hope that he's going to get more opportunities to not only make the roster, but also to get some playing minutes for the All-Stars in the years to come. But for Drew Moore, did you see that, the Columbus Dispatch? There was a story with Kai Cameron.
I heard about it. I have not seen it yet.
Where he was basically asked, what are you going to take out of the All-Star game? This was in the lead-up. This was before Frank Lampard and the Steven Gerrards pulled out. And he said, well, I'm a big Frank Lampard fan, always been a big fan of Lampard's, but I'm looking forward most to meeting Drew Moore because of the video. And, you know, it's been amazing how that video has resonated with so many people. And people were asking me last night, if you could put your finger on it, why do you think it is? And I think we touched upon it last week when Drew was sat alongside us. And so much in sport is rather stage managed. So much in sport is scripted. It is PR speak and PR spin. And this was an example where it was raw. It was a true, genuine reaction. And the fact that fellow players of Drew's have acknowledged that and have realized, wow, that was quite a breathtaking moment. So it was fantastic to see our guys out there in the mix and also seeing some action on Wednesday night. And obviously Drew Moore was one of them. And it's you know, fantastic to see, wonderful to see.
Well, let's hear from Drew Moore. He made his first MLS All-Star appearance in 11 seasons in Major League Soccer. Here is the Colorado Rapid.
That was a great experience, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You know, the boys in the first half did a good job getting some goals. We were able to hold on there in the second half. We weren't quite able to maintain the possession that we wanted, but in terms of an experience, the atmosphere, playing against one of the best teams in the world, it was about as much fun as I've ever had on a soccer field. The 45 minutes of work I put in felt like 90-plus minutes. So I put in a good shift, certainly, but it was competitive. You know, it wasn't an all-star game type of atmosphere. But you know, both sides wanted to win, which made it extra special. Yeah, it was great. It was one of the matchups I was looking forward to coming into this game. Was happy I got to go up against them a couple times. You know, they were able to find him, put some balls in the box. But you know, anytime he's around the goal, you got to get close to him. And I thought we did a pretty good job of that in the second half. It was great. You know what? All these guys are fantastic human beings. A lot of them have experienced stuff like this, you know, day in and day out. And so, you know, share some of these moments with them, especially Sam and Clint was very special. You know, certainly look to get back to work with the Rapids, but we'll savor this for a little while. That Tottenham, you know, when you play against them, they make one half of soccer feel like you play two halves of soccer. They're a fantastic side. Again, I think they came to win, but just, you know, I was able to take everything in this week. The appearances, the time in the hotel with some of these special players, my family being here, it made it special as well. Just the overall atmosphere was absolutely fantastic.
There is Drew Moore, who was like white on rice with Harry Kane in the second half, did not let him more than about 8 inches away from him at all times. Well defended by Drew on one of Europe's best attackers.
Yeah, well, and I think a young man that's going to become one of the world's top players in the next few years. I think I think it was his birthday earlier in the week. It was his birthday on Tuesday.
Yeah,
21, 22.
I was going to say 22. I could be wrong.
Yeah, something. So he's still very young, but you know, one of the leading players certainly in the Premier League, and it's whether he can kick on from that now. But you know, hearing Drew then, you know, he was talking about Harry Kane, but he was also talking about you know, how tough playing against Tottenham was, although he only played 45 minutes, it felt like playing 90 minutes. And you could see sometimes they were doubling up on him on this near side, as we are here on the west side of Dick's Sporting Goods Park, which was he was playing in the right back position, kicking from north to south, if you know your Dick's Sporting Goods Park geography. And so it was tough. You know these guys, Tottenham, are very close, just a little over a week away from the start of their domestic season. And you know, they weren't coming here just for a stroll in the park and to pick up their paycheck. So, you know, Drew had a bit of a run out. And I know certain players were missing, and I know certain players were injured. And people were saying, oh, well, you know, Steven Gerrard's dropped out for LA, who the Rapids play on Saturday. And so what do? We put Sam Cronin in. Well, you know, that's giving them a boost, and that's obviously detrimental to the Rapids. What I would say to that is, the Rapids come Saturday will not have played for 2 weeks. So I think, you know, 45 minutes of competitive, not MLS competitive, but right, a competitive game will be good for Cronin and for Drew Moore, two Rapids players that otherwise wouldn't get that kind of competitive minutes ahead of what will be a very, very tough LA Galaxy. Got all of their players back from Gold Cup. And if Robbie Keane and Steven Gerrard come through their injuries, then I think Gerrard was in Bruce Arena's words, was a muscle issue. I think Robbie Keane,
by all accounts, it sounds like he will be here and play on Saturday.
I imagine he will play. Yes. I imagine Robbie Keane will play. And obviously Robbie Keane and Kevin Doyle of the Rapids are international teammates with Ireland. Pablo Mastroeni has gone on the record as saying, when fully fit and everybody's available, LA are the best team in Major League Soccer.
And no one would probably
Giovanni
refute that.
Dos Santos, yes. Steven Gerrard, Omar Gonzalez, Juninho.
Keep going.
De La Garza, yep. You've got obviously Zardes was here, yep, on Wednesday night in the All-Star game. Did I mention Jerry O'Keefe? You know, you could go, and of course the new signing, Jaime Pinedo, which was a bit of a surprise.
Interesting.
And if I was going to put my journalist hat back on,
which you should, put it on.
Yeah, just do it up. It
Hats
was a
on.
very good day to bury bad news on the day of the All-Star game.
Yes.
The news emerged at about 4:30.
Yep.
Mountain time. Couple of hours before the game got underway here, that Jaime Pinedo was being released by LA Galaxy, which is a bit of a surprise.
Yeah.
Just come back from Gold Cup, and I know, you know, there's a bit of a mixed feelings over Pinedo. Sometimes he can be a world beater, and other times he couldn't beat an egg. But then they brought in Donovan Ricketts, who's a previous
second tour.
He was at Orlando City.
But is that an upgrade from Pinedo, or is that just a stopgap for the time being? And
to be honest,
do they go look further for the final stretch?
Yeah,
run here?
I think it's more of the same, because I know, you know, Donovan Ricketts has got Save of the Year. He's been MLS Goalkeeper of the Year. But Donovan Ricketts can also perform a few rickets. He can also be a little bit erratic,
as we've seen with
Portland on occasion. So, but you know, sometimes that's your lot with a goalkeeper. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they play out of their skin, and other times you wonder whether they've ever pulled gloves on before. So, but Donovan Ricketts is an imposing figure. So yeah, they're going to be a tough team to play, but. Little stat to throw in before we go. LA have not won on the road all season. 0-6-5.
Isn't that amazing?
On the road, and yet they have 34 points. 34 points. The last road win, when was it?
It was here, because, wasn't it?
It was here.
It was here. They won, the Rapids went up 2-0.
2-0 and 3-1.
And 3-1 and lost 4-3.
Lost 4-3. Landon Donovan got the fourth goal. So that was the last road win for LA Galaxy almost a year ago, August the 20th of 2014.
Aren't you proud of me that I got
that? I'm very impressed. Very impressed indeed.
See,
I'm a gold star.
Thanks so much. Let me just put it on right there. Even a blind squirrel finds a nut once in a while.
Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, for me, it's an opportunity for the Rapids to push for a fourth successive win, which, again, another little stat for you, a little nugget. They've not won four in a row since when?
2008?
2003.
And 3? 2003. Go that far back. So Richard had a deluge of Twitter statistics yesterday that had all these stats, and I was just trying to place which year was which, because there was four or five of them. It was part 1, 2, 3.
So 2003, that was, and they won five in a row that season. So this is a big chance.
Blue and black kits.
Yeah, this is a big chance for the Rapids to go for four in a row, and then Columbus Crew on August 8th to go for five. Because let's be honest, we've said it before, and we'll say it again. I'm sure we'll say it again. The home form and the home not even the home form. No, let's scrub that. The home results are most important. If you pick
they
up,
don't care how you do it,
rope,
just do it.
Absolutely. So get through by hook or by crook against LA Galaxy this coming Saturday. It is going to be a tough game. There's no way, you know, and I think Bruce Arena will have seen Seattle and the performance that the Rapids put in there. Okay, albeit against an understrength without a Martins
but
or Dempsey.
In Seattle.
But still in Seattle against the Seattle side that is still very good and up near the top of the standings. Look at the sides that the Rapids have beaten this season.
Yeah.
Seattle, Vancouver and Dallas.
Dallas, so, top of the Western Conference,
you know,
as
that,
we record
that tells
this.
You, that tells you, and that just sort of adds to the frustration a little bit, is that we know the Rapids can do it. We know
they almost play better events against the good clubs as well.
Well, and maybe because better clubs, better sides play
force you
a better brand of soccer, and of course that allows the Rapids to exploit that a little bit more. But you know, three good sides in the Western Conference, another Western Conference opponent this weekend, then Columbus Crew, and then they go to Avaya Stadium with San Jose, which is going to be a bit of a battle because San Jose are there or thereabouts with the Rapids in the wrong half of the standings. So there's some big games. July, we're gonna obviously we've reveled in that. Three wins out of three games. It's gone. It's history.
Yeah.
It's now about, because the Rapids are still bottom of the standings. So despite those three wins in a row, the Rapids still have work to do, and it starts again, all over again, this coming Saturday against LA Galaxy. The sun is going to shine. It looks like we're going to have a very, very big crowd, and I imagine there'll be a number looking to see if Steven Gerrard's going to be in action. I've seen him play. I've had the honour of watching him live a couple of times for Liverpool and England. And he's a world class player, and he's the kind of player similar to Villa, similar to Kaká, similar to Pirlo, who are good players that make average players better or good players better around them. And I think we'll see that with LA Galaxy in the run-in, that with Gerrard and with Robbie Keane and with Dos Santos, those players will make the players around them better. So they've got to guard against not just Gerrard, but how he's going to elevate the rest of the Galaxy side this coming Saturday. Because, as I tell you, this Bruce Arena, coming back to you, he will have seen Seattle. He does not want to do what Seattle did. He is not going to want to lose to the Colorado Rapids on Saturday. And so that, I think they're going to come out all guns blazing.
Hope you'll join us for that here at Dick's Sporting Goods Park. I will be here. Richard will be here. But the best way to see Richard would be on the telly, wouldn't it be? From 6:30, I believe.
Yes.
Rapids kickoff starts.
We recorded Rapids Report, the first half of Rapids Report, earlier in the week. And then we recorded some final little segments just to let you into some trade secrets. We've recorded a few additional segments after the All-Star game.
Right.
And Cello came up to us and he's like, how are you doing?
I said, I'm a little bit clamped. Yeah. Talk amongst yourselves. Yeah. I'll give you a topic.
I said, what's happening?
He said, I've lost my voice.
Oh, dear. Are you going to be okay? So we will see. Mm. We'll see. It could just be me, or it will be Cello. Will be sort of the whispering death.
The whispering death.
Yeah, so it will be Marcelo. So I'm hoping that he's resting the golden pipes and he'll be ready for Saturday night.
We hope he's okay, too.
Come join us outside. Beautiful summer night here at Dick's Sporting Goods Park. 7 o'clock kickoff against the LA Galaxy. Steven Gerrard and company will be in town. If you can't watch the Rapids on Altitude Television, 129 in the books. Richard, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Well done. And we'll see you in just a short 48 hours from now. It's the Rapids and Galaxy on Saturday. Then turn around and have the Columbus Crew in town a week from then. We will recap the LA Galaxy match and look ahead, rather, to Columbus next week on episode number 130 of the Rapids Podcast, presented by Advocare, the official sports nutrition partner of the Colorado Rapids. For the entire Rapids Media Group and Richard Fleming, I'm Connor McGahee. Thanks for listening. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Nicely taken by Torres. We'll have a shot. Oh, what a